call the meeting to order. Thanks for coming out tonight. This is not quite officially fall yet, but it's going to be in a couple of days.
Sunday morning.
So summer went by pretty quickly.
Yes, it did.
In your packets, you've got the minutes from our Thursday, July 18th meeting. So please take a couple of minutes to review those. I would just comment that we took an unusual course of action last meeting on one of the resolutions, 2013-12, concerning the I-76 Beltway study. And as a result of the committee's input, we appeared at the subsequent policy committee meeting that took place the next week after our last meeting, and we voiced our concern about the lack of information for $16 million expenditure. So also in your packet, you'll find the policy committee meeting minutes. I won't dwell on it, but there was a substantial feeling similar to ours that they didn't need more information. Unfortunately, the ODOT folks did present some additional information. I won't go into it or read it verbatim, but please go over it. I hope it's a satisfactory explanation of that project, which is actually a wraparound, the $16 million. It does entail quite a bit of work potentially, and it's a good springboard for hopefully getting us some new thinking in the sense that they can save a substantial amount of the $290 million estimated to solve the problem of the central interchange. So we'll be glad to entertain any motion on the minutes of our last meeting there on July 18th.
Well, having read them on the internet, I move they be approved.
We have a motion for Mr. Mackey. Do we have a second?
Sure.
All right. Having a motion on the floor to accept the minutes of the Thursday, July 18th, 2013 meeting. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next, we'll move on to staff reports, and Curtis will fill us in on the information for that item.
Yeah, a couple things in the staff reports. One, find it through all this stuff. Attachment 3A, which I think is in your packet, that's our year-end budget. So we spent about 83% of the budget, had $309,000 carried over, which we can use over the next 6 months. So overall, we were, you know, most of our time was spent on long-range planning because we were doing our long-range plan. And so that, that obviously took up a good chunk of the funds. Also, from a technical perspective, some of the things the staff is doing, we had our last bike and brainstorm in Barberton. We had over 65 people show up and ride. It was really successful. Barberton did a great job planning. They had hot dogs for us afterwards and all sorts of things. So it was actually a very great event. Got a lot of good feedback. The mayor rode as well as a lot of the administration. So it was very good to have them all out there with the public. Also, as many of you know, with our Connecting Community Grants, we funded two of them. Barberton was one of them. The other one was the Montrose area in Copley and Bath. We released a survey that was asking about 25 questions. It was open to the public for anyone to answer questions about what they thought of the Montrose area from a bikeability perspective, a walkability perspective, a traffic perspective, a transit perspective. Kind of had a few questions in each one of those categories. We've received to date over 550 responses to the survey. It's been really impressive. We've started to go through the results. Some of the things might surprise you. Heidi'd be happy to send that to you. You might find it interesting. But it's anytime you give people the opportunity to fill in question, you get some really, really happy, fun responses and some really, really negative responses. And then, but there were some things that were really eye-opening too. Like most people in the Montrose area think that there's just enough parking. like not too much and not too little. You know, and as from the planner side, I'm like, I don't know, I could argue that. But, you know, it's interesting, we asked a couple questions about aesthetics in terms of, you know, how important is how somewhere looks for you to want to shop there. And over, I think, 60% said it was, you know, either moderately or extremely important for aesthetics. And then everybody also said that they hated how Montrose looked. But, you know, it's, I mean, but yet they still shop there. And which a lot of people don't really have a choice. But then also a lot of people complain about the traffic signals just not working as well as I think they want. Sidewalks was an issue that we saw quite a bit about people, you know. But then there were a lot of people that said that there's no way in hell I would ever do anything other than drive through and, you know, to different stores and things like that. So I think we actually got like a lot of really, it's just interesting. And I think the engineer's office would probably like to take a look at it too, because there's all sorts of good, there's gems in there.
There were a lot of people that said they thought it worked perfectly and they enjoyed being able to get in their car right after one store, drive to the next store, get out of their car, and keep going. They liked that. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people took the approach that I wouldn't walk or I wouldn't bike because of I'm carrying so much stuff, which I think is kind of, I understand that from like a grocery perspective, but there's a lot of things out there, and from a service perspective, like with restaurants and things, you know, that doesn't really, the only thing you're taking back with you is a full stomach, hopefully, so... but it was very interesting. We're still keeping the survey open for the next month. If you haven't taken it, I would really encourage you to. It's just kind of interesting, and we've really enjoyed getting the results back. We got a lot of good feedback from the Beacon Journal did an article, and I think that's how we got a big push of people filling it out. So we're pretty excited about it, and we'll keep you posted as it goes on. But I think there is a general effort. I think one of the biggest concerns that we're focusing on is transit last mile connections, and you know there's some really poor conditions for transit riders out there in terms of just sort of a ditch and a trash can sort of as their waiting area. And I think we've brought Metro on board and really talking about making some investments in that, and then having them be able to get off the bus and get to where they work or get to where they want to shop and things like that. So we're kind of looking at it, trying to, through a transit prism, especially because those are the people that really don't have, you know, the other 98% of the people are driving. So we're trying to keep that in mind.
Curtis, where do things stand as far as this battle between Copley and Fairlawn? I guess Fairlawn did get the permission to close the road.
And they're not appealing it, right? They are?
Copley appealed that decision.
Did they?
So it's in the court system?
Yeah, it's...
But
so it'll be a while before
Walmart
gets built. Walmart?
No, it doesn't stop Walmart.
They can build.
Yeah, they can build. Right. I think they've been. Last time I thought I heard maybe like a month or two ago, they've submitted plans to build. So
yeah, we've seen them. There was an updated set of plans, stage 3 plans too. So
getting serious.
They're getting there.
Yeah.
And there's not much.
Still, man, it's hard to believe they'd build it with that road closed. But
they just
must have that confidence that
they do.
It's pretty impressive.
It doesn't stop people from going. They're used to this. They have a whole division of lawyers that just are dedicated to these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Well, if we can drive around with all the orange barrels and the good weather and all the snow plows and everything and the bad weather, what that's one closed road day. And motorists in North Carolina.
It's in the courts. I think Walmart still seems dedicated to doing it. But I think now you guys, as the county, is still making that effort to push to having those be like D. I don't know what you'd call it, but basically taking them off the county system.
Yes,
like the
township
right, roads. So they'd be township roads.
Right. There's a couple sections in the Ohio Revised Code that defines what a county road is, and it has to connect two state routes or a state route to a county road or connect two state roads or go to some sort of public facility like a park or something. But with Rothrock Road just cut off right in the middle, the road goes nowhere. So Rothrock Road no longer meets the definition of a county road, and that also means the Springside Connector and Rothrock Loop, since they no longer go anywhere. there are also intercounty roads. So we'll see where that goes.
Anything further on the staff reports?
I believe, our annual meeting, October 11th, you're all encouraged to attend. That's Friday, 3 weeks from tomorrow, I think. So that should be a good time. Randy Cole will be speaking, and Mayor of Cuyahoga Falls, Don Robart, will be speaking, and we're going to have a panel on shared services. So we'll have, I think, Mayor Braska from Streetsboro is going to be speaking, and a few other, Tom Pasquarella from Hudson, going to talk about some of the innovative stuff they've been trying to do to save money. So should be interesting. It's not quite as in depth as some of our other ones have been. Like, we're not breaking out into sessions or doing anything like we've done before. So annual meetings really creep up on you sometimes. Yeah. Like,
yeah. We have to hold on to
you. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh crap.
Okay. Anything else on staff reports?
That is it.
That's it. Okay. Thanks very much for that. We'll move on to item four on the agenda, staff presentations. We have two items under that category, and the first is the Ohio Department of Transportation's Review Advisory Council TRAC. So, Curtis, take it away.
Yeah, and this came from after Mike spoke to the policy committee, he had some questions about this body called TRAC. And so what we wanted to do tonight was just give a short sort of informational presentation about how major projects are done in the state and how that interacts with what we do and our planning, and how sometimes those things can be in conflict or can, you know, be in support of each other. So I put the presentation together with some of it's just simple facts. You know, it was established in 1997, I think, originally when Jerry Ray was at ODOT, and they were charged with overseeing the selection of the major new projects. It's a major new projects are basically any widening project that's over $12 million, and it's adding transportation capacity. There's in the track, there are some bylaws and things that say they won't spend any money on track if system preservation isn't already taken care of first. They also have to align with ODOT strategic initiatives, which is system preservation, economic development, local partnerships, and project delivery. The track membership, which is basically like a board, is made up of mostly non-ODOT personnel. There are 9 members. ODOT does chair it, and it does include David Regula, manager of customer services for the Canton-Akron Airport. So I think they tried to grab different regions, and you know, they have a member kind of in each sort of area of the state. So he, in a way, represents our area. The TRAC application is, so any project that's over $12 million, if ODOT wants to widen an interstate, or if they want to widen a major arterial road, and it's going to be more than $12 million, they have to go through this process. Now, the part where the NPOs get sort of wrapped into it is that if part of the funding that they're using for this process is federal funding, then it has to also conform to the NPO plan and the NPO TIP. So, and in a lot of cases, most cases, track project, ODOT is using a combination of state and federal funds. So in a strange way, they're ODOT projects, but because they're using federal funds, we still have to concur with them. So when a sponsor applies, the NPO has to sign off on it and say, yeah, this is in our plan, it's in our TIP, and if it's not, we support it, and here's why we didn't have it in there. So then ODOT does the scoring, and the scoring includes factors of transportation, economic factors, local share. So it looks at things like what's the ADT on the road, what's the crash date on the road, what economic development opportunities are there, and then how much is the local going to put into the project. That really influences scoring. Now, I think what kind of gave it a little bit of a twist recently, and it's kind of been even more instrumental, is that when the state decided that they wanted to lease the turnpike or bond the turnpike, basically what they did was the Ohio Turnpike and Infrastructure Commission basically put out $1.5 billion worth of bonds to finance additional projects. And those projects have to have a nexus with the turnpike. So it created this process where projects that if they have turnpike funding in them, first they need to be considered by TRAC, and then if TRAC approves them, then they go to the Ohio Infrastructure Commission. They approve them, then they go back to TRAC for a final approval. And so it first comes from ODOT, their push for a big project. Then the TRAC, then the Turnpike Commission decides if it has the nexus, and if they approve it, then the TRAC gives a final approval to it. So basically, our relationship with TRAC is that any project that has the federal funds, it has to be listed in our plan and our TIP. Because they use a lot of, usually these large projects use some federal funds, it means that we, you know, have to have a say in the project. So, but where it kind of breaks down, I don't even know if I have another slide. Yeah, where it kind of breaks down is that ODOT sometimes forgets about how the MPO process works. And I mean, ODOT's huge and MPOs relatively are very small. So sometimes what happens is that, you know, we can sign off on a project, but when they get an investment as large as this and they started pulling projects out that maybe weren't on the radar as recently as some other projects like the 271 widening and things like that, it puts us in the bind where we didn't have those on our plan, and then we have to amend the plan to get them on there. And for our members, almost always, they want that additional funding and they want the additional money, so they usually just sign off on whatever the project is. So ODOT, it's a lot of the money is ODOT funds, state gas tax money, but there is some federal gas tax in it, and so that's when you see it come through the AMAT system, because we have to acknowledge that it's there, we have to say that it's consistent with our regional plan, and it has to be included in that TIP. Otherwise, it's a completely state-run process for adding capacity to the state system. I know that's complicated, and I don't think that's the best summary, but are there any questions at this point?
Well, I guess what's confusing to me is what happens if the track, these nine people on the committee, just think something is a bad idea and they don't agree, and the MPO thinks it's a great idea and it should happen. And
so it wouldn't get funded. Yeah, it wouldn't get funded in that case with their money.
Well, yeah, but when you talk about some of these projects, I mean, if they turn it down, there's virtually no chance it's going to happen.
Right, right.
So, I mean...
Yeah, and I think, but in most cases, usually the applicant, sometimes like the city of Akron applied for a TRAC, but a lot of times it'll be the district, the ODOT district applying to central office for those funds. So it actually has been very rare, I don't think it's occurred, where the state doesn't want it, but the whole region, usually there's a, you know, consolidated effort. Sometimes what has happened, though, is where the state does want to fund something and the region doesn't. And that happens, you know, more off where it's like, we don't have the money, but we still can have the say-so that, you know, if somebody came in and said they wanted to widen 76 to six lanes, you know, and ODOT tried to bully it through, we would be the last defense between, like, keeping that from happening. ODOT doesn't want to do that, but...
There was an article in the paper, too, I don't know if you saw it, but they've already earmarked $900 million.
Yeah.
And there was actually one project in Stark County that had something to do with SARTA, and they knocked that down. And it was one,
yeah, they
the
didn't
project.
Fund it.
Yeah,
there,
that
there
was two.
TRAC
didn't fund it.
Yeah.
TRAC did not fund it.
It's not going to, the turnpike and infrastructure bond funding will not be used for that project. They said it didn't have a connection to the turnpike.
And I can't remember what that project was.
Something about building a bus station?
Yeah. Yeah, and they said that it didn't have that nexus to the turnpike. So, and that's what is a little frustrating, is TRAC makes the funding decision, but the turnpike is almost there to say it has a nexus. You know, TRAC will say, we want to fund these, and then the Infrastructure Commission says, this one has a nexus, this one has a nexus, this one doesn't, take it out. Or you're not going to fund it with our piece of the TRAC pie. So it was complicated, and it's gotten even more complicated with the addition of the Turnpike Commission being involved.
Once that turnpike thing went through, okay, let's go back to the pre-turnpike law. Here's Ohio. You got a piece of apple pie. That apple pie is made out of all the license fees and gas tax fees and everything else. And that money is used for the highways. Mm-hmm. And track figures it out. Or we get some federal money that come into the state. Pie gets a little bigger, covers the whole state. All right, now we still got this apple pie. License fees, highway fees, gas taxes. But now we've added a peach pie up here in the north. And peach pie added is the money coming from the turnpike money. It's that bootstrap, well, we're going to have these bonds, we're going to fix the turnpike, and it was extra money to leverage bonds to do things within 60 miles?
75 miles.
So track is sitting down here in Columbus saying, wait a minute, we can take the peach pie and put it down here. Everybody in the north is funding the peach pie, the apple pie, pardon me, the original, and they got the peach pie up here, and they can use that to do all this infrastructure they want up there. We'll put money up there. All right, so they've actually got two funding sources now.
Right.
They don't have to send money up north.
Right.
They can do more around Columbus, Cincinnati, Athens, whatever.
Yeah, it's like that kind of shell game.
So, yeah, I can see where, in a way, I can't see why they wouldn't fund stuff, knowing that the peach pie is now available. It's going to cover all the northern areas. It's not going to affect the big original apple pie they can put elsewhere. But if they say it doesn't fit the criteria, then up to them to change the application.
For instance, one interesting project that was being considered is Route 30 right now. It's like four lane divided.
Yeah.
Virtually across the whole state.
Yeah.
Until you get east of Canton.
Right, right.
And they said to complete that link as a four lane divided road would cost $900 million. So, down it goes.
Yeah.
They just felt that the volume of traffic would not support that kind of expenditure.
Right. No, I love getting off of 71 and taking 30 and heading west, but coming east. You have to get up to speed, and you got to stop at the lights, and you got to start it up again.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. I'm waiting for the first time that there's a head butting over some project.
Well, and it's funny because it actually happened before the MAP 21 in Indiana. The governor of Indiana tried to force something through, I think it was in Bloomington, and he actually got a law, or in part of MAP 21, he had gotten a draft legislation that said the state can trump the MPO, because he was pissed about what had happened. And it eventually got tossed out when they reconciled the bills, but it was because of that headbutting. I mean, that definitely happens where, and it's usually where DOT comes in and says we want to widen, and the local says, well, we don't think we need it, or we don't want it, and that's so it does play out interestingly. I would say in our region we have a pretty good relationship, where hopefully that doesn't happen anytime soon.
Okay, if anybody else has anything, we'll move on to the next section of item 4, which is adopting the revised AMF's funding policy guidelines. Curtis, go ahead and fill us in.
Yeah, and I mean, part of this dovetails into what we've talked previously is that there is no CMAQ anymore, or there is a CMAQ program, but it's going to be run by the state. So in reality, the only edits that we made to the funding policy were to the STP resurfacing program and to the transportation alternatives, which funds trails and bike lanes. So basically, the funding policy guidelines, I would say I'm pretty happy with the way it came out. The biggest changes that we made that I would draw your attention to is, like, with the transportation alternatives, used to be called transportation enhancements. And now we're able to fund some projects through the Safe Routes to Schools program. We're helping fund Akron's district-wide Safe Routes to Schools program, and that's because of the TAP program. And as you know, I've talked about our Connecting Communities grants. One of the things we did in the actual scoring criteria now for the STP is to say that if a project was identified through a planning grant, it would receive bonus points when being scored for STP. We also added a complete streets component to our STP funding, which just says that communities get more points the more components of a complete street they add. So if they have highway and they've got transit improvements, they would receive more points than just a normal highway project. The Transportation Alternatives Program is the one that got changed the most because the program changed the most. And basically what we're doing is giving points for if it was identified in our plans, if it's consistent with jurisdictions' plans, and then how it improves the network and the gaps, as well as the safety and the use. So overall, and then the resurfacing program at the end stayed exactly the same. We did change the wording to say now that we will fund at least, we used to say that we'd fund up to 20% for resurfacing. Now we say we will spend at least 20% on resurfacing. So the committee's felt that resurfacing has really been a great asset to the region and want us to continue to fund those projects. So I expect in the next round of funding that we're having coming up here in the next few months that we'll have quite a few resurfacing projects. Other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. There is, in the text, there is stuff about the transit programs. We're going to kind of do the whole rehash of transit a little bit later in the year. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Mr. Mackey.
On your resolution 2013-13.
Yes.
Second page, you start off, whereas the applicant involved an area transportation study, parentheses ANAS. Mm-hmm. However, on your very first page, you have elimination of the CMAQ with no explanation of what that is for the reader who's not familiar with this program. I think it's standard English that if you say the title and then you put it in parentheses after that, and then after that you can use that mm-hmm. shortened acronym throughout the document, mm-hmm. same type and speed, but CMAQ should be spelled out. And when is the statewide policy currently under development expected to come out and be available to the MPOs?
We don't know for sure.
It'll either will it be in 2014?
Yeah, it'll be in 2014.
Sometime, so we then see it applied in 2015?
Yeah. Well, it'll probably be, the first round of funding will actually happen in 2014,
right.
And it'll be for 2019 and 2020.
Okay, so the criteria will be there to
yeah, for 19 and 20.
Yeah, this open-ended current under development without a...
Yeah,
without a
and I think the reason when they wrote it that way, it's because... It's been a moving target, so to speak.
The flowchart you use in this document, I lost the date.
I know which one you're talking about.
18,
yeah, didn't quite come through.
Or answering
19, there you go. I saw this on the sheets on the website. And I don't know, this is just an idea. In a flow chart, I start left to right, 1 to 10, you know, across the chart mm-hmm. this way, and you've got this written 1 to 10, top to bottom, with the dates on the side. There's room to rotate that. I'm just saying it's not easy to read, mm-hmm. either on the website or on the paper. Maybe you rotated the data to be a left
landscape.
To right, like you commonly do on a chalkboard, mm-hmm. whiteboard, whatever. It might be easier. And I think it should be somewhere. I looked over the website, mm-hmm. and I didn't see this. For an average citizen to say, how does things work? This would be an excellent document to go mm-hmm. to. Like FAQs, how do things work? Well, here's how your roads get done.
Yeah.
See this chart. And you could put this somewhere in the website under an FAQ. It's an excellent document. It's just a little difficult to read.
Do you mean specifically the flow chart would be helpful on the website?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody comes up and somewhere under FAQs or here's how we do our planning to fix your roads next year.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think we should because it's in the document that's on there, but it's not,
yeah, but
you know,
it's not,
but I know you got to hunt for it.
You
got
to go through
so.
A lot of stuff to find it.
No.
I think I found it on page 26 of attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Something
yeah.
there, you
It's a nice flow chart. Just a little change and make it more friendly for a person who's just learning about transportation issues.
Gotcha.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? If not, we'll close out item 4 and move to item 5, which is the worksheet in your packets, which lists several items. Under attachment 5A, we've got proposed updates of the MS area federal functional classification of highways. This is accompanied by a fold-out chart, which is color-coded, and on the back side of the cover page, number 2 is the description of different thoroughfares and locations that are involved in this item. So, Curtis, do you want to fill us in with the details on this particular item?
Yeah, real briefly, every 10 years with the census, the federal government asks us to look at our classification of roads and make any changes or updates. And basically, if it's included in this list, if it's a minor, anything from an urban collector up through a principal arterial, it can receive federal funding. So once every 10 years, we get to open up this box and say, do we want to change anything? We put out a request to communities for any potential changes. They brought them to us. Most of them are small. I think the changes in mileage overall, I'm not sure if that's on here or not, the total might be in the document. Net result would be that we'd increase our mileage by a half a mile for minor arterials, and we're included adding 12 miles of collectors to the functional classification system. So basically, it's just adding roads. It's not really removing. Akron decided to remove a few that were basically have gotten, getting very little use, and they kind of used those to trade for roads they wanted to see bumped up. So it's a thing that we do every 10 years, and it's based on, how busy the road is, what the road connects to. Actually, very similar to what we were talking about in a way with the engineer's office and what Heidi's doing with the what it connects to and how it goes, how it interacts with the rest of the network.
Very briefly, do financial considerations, is this sort of a chess game, or how would you describe this?
I would say everyone tries to play it very fair. They all know what mileage they've got, and but there are some roads where they think, a lot of times it'll be this area has really developed over the last 10 years. The mileage, the amount of cars on it's increased. We'd like to get federal funding. But I wouldn't say, so there's a little bit of chess because the Fed gives you guidelines of how many miles of each category you can have. So you have play, but you have to be, we couldn't just say, every road is a collector, so it gets federal funding. You have to stay within a certain set of parameters. So it makes it difficult to do, widespread major changes.
I can't remember us ever talking about something like that. The last one must have come just before I came on.
And one time that we did make a change was for the Goodyear project. They needed federal funds for the way they were realigning. I can't remember how it was. Martha or one of the new roads. And so we did a swap and took one of the roads, we got rid of one of the, and we did that sort of outside of the traditional scope. It was a real pain, but once it was done, it was okay. So it doesn't happen very often. It's only in those kind of major situations where you're talking about thousands of jobs and $19 million of investment.
I feel like I should have stayed. I live on Franklin.
What is the vacate here on
the ones
Locust? What is Akron doing? What happens when they vacate a road? Do they plow it under and make a park out of it, or what?
It's gone.
Yeah, they just got rid of it.
So they turn it into a park?
I think what they're doing isn't children's going right on top of it, isn't
it?
That's
what the foundation's at. Probably either Children's would maintain it as some kind of access to their facilities, yeah, or Children's.
So that's Churchill Office?
Yeah, because I think the building is it
yeah,
part of the building.
Yeah,
right
the front of the building.
Yeah, so they just remove it off
yeah
their map.
Okay. All right. I just wonder.
What kind of yeah. So Locust is going to be cut in two pieces.
Yeah, we've vacated a couple of roads recently that are just their township roads that nobody has maintained in years.
Yeah,
like our trees were just growing up through it. Yeah. Might as well.
You missed your chance. Yeah, you missed your chance to say goodbye to Locust. So.
What happened to that property? Does it go to lot owners along that road?
Yeah, it's yeah supposed to be split in the middle. That river right away is.
Wow. Okay. Nothing else on that. We'll move on to the resolutions that are before us this evening. These are under this 6A, 6B, 6C, and 6D in your packets. And I'll just read them very briefly. Attachment 6A concerns Resolution 2013-13, revisions to funding policy guidelines to review new TAP funds and other minor updates. The staff recommends approval. Attachment 6B, Resolution 2013-14, a report summarizing the status of activities and expenditures for transportation planning in the greater Akron area during fiscal year 2013. Staff recommends approval. Attachment 6C, Resolution 2013-15, designated Pintro, RTA, and PARTA as recipients of funds from the FTA Section 5310 Enhanced Mobility for the Elderly and Disabled Program. The staff recommends approval. And finally, Attachment 6D, Resolution 2013-16, a TIP amendment to revise the funding for ODOT District 4 guardrail end treatments throughout the greater Akron area and for projects in Green, Akron, and Twinsburg. The staff recommends approval. If you want to take a minute to review the particular details on that, we'll have Curtis add any comments that he may have. And then we will entertain, as has been our custom, depending on the feelings of the committee, whether you'd like to handle these individually or collectively by motion. Curtis?
Don't have a lot of comments on these. We talked about the funding policy. When I went over the fiscal, you know, how we spend 83% of the budget, that's basically what the second resolution is the year-end completion report. The 5310 funds, that's something that we have to designate Metro and PARTA so they're able to receive those funds, which ends up, you know, we recommend to the governor, and the governor actually, like, bestows it on them. And the last one, which was Mr. Mackey had submitted a couple comments about, is a ODOT TIP amendment to ensure that these projects get funded. And it does include engineering for, decommissioning the Interbelt and turning it into doing the engineering to look at turning it into a developable land, I guess. So we want to open up keep Dart and Rand as the only access and then build on where the Interbelt is now, where the highway is. So for a section of the Interbelt.
Are they still planning ODOT that is to repave portions of the Interbelt? I know that was mentioned earlier this year during one of the meetings that there's like $7 million towards repaving.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I know ODOT is working on the project, so I'm sure they're hopefully doing it in concert, but it would be hard for me to answer that just because there's going to be a south of Thornton, I think, or
that was Euclid.
Is it Euclid? Yeah, okay. So, you know, that's still going to be the way it was. So I don't know where I don't have the specifics on where the resurfacing is actually going to take place, but hopefully it'll be. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
they're going to vacate the Interbelt part of it?
Yeah, they would. Well, vacate might not be the right word, because I think what the city is going to do is take the land and try to develop it, to bring people in. I don't think they're going to.
They have what I call the high road and the low road.
They yeah
have the four lane divided, and then
yeah
sort of up on another level.
Right,
it's
that's
like a
that's
service
Dart
road
and
on
Rand.
Each side.
Yeah,
so
Dart
what's
going
to stay and what's going to
Dart and Rand will stay. The high roads will stay.
Roads will stay.
And the low road will go.
Oh.
Not all of the low road, but a chunk of it will go.
Huge chunk.
I thought it was just a great idea to go ahead like they do in Chicago and just build a layer above, keep the roads underneath.
Well, actually, what they are going to do, it sounds like, is build parking decks on the lower levels and actually have buildings. This is the dream, I think. Have buildings where you could pull right into the park, you know, have them be on that high road.
At the level of Darton.
Yeah, at the level of Darton Rand and having stuff below it in terms of parking. But we'll see. It's interesting. I mean, Akron does love its parking decks. It doesn't kind of have a parking deck.
We're not going to bring out the canal, right?
Yeah, we'll dig that up next. Okay.
Do they have a time frame where they think they might actually proceed?
I don't think they've identified yet the funding for the construction. I mean, so the fact that they're doing the engineering, I have to look at what the... Yeah, I mean, I would assume that would mean the construction would be potentially the following year or the year after. They might even apply to us in this round of funding for some of that. I've heard the numbers not as expensive as you might think for the project, that it's only going to be like less than $3 million, which...
I heard like $45
million. Yeah, no. Yeah, originally it was like a big $30 million. And now because so much of it is saving what they have and just eliminating the part, the engineering's not nearly as expensive, or the construction isn't either, so...
Did they finalize which, because they had four on Terreir.
They did, and they've selected one, and actually Bill was asking about that in an email, and we've got a question in ODOT to find out. They're going to send us an image of which one, or a drawing of what alternative they actually picked, because when I saw the plan in November, there were still 13 different alternatives. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, some of them I couldn't tell the difference between the two. Yeah. But
I had another one. They could all bike one.
Go bike lane right through the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Gonna have a hard time with those parking decks, though. So.
Well, do we have any motions regarding the resolutions tonight?
Mr. Chair, I move that we bundle resolutions 2013-13 through 16, all four of them, and we approve these resolutions.
All right.
I second.
Mr. Baker is the second. Okay, any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving resolutions 2013-13 through 2013-16 in one motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. That completes our formal agenda. Now we move into item six, which is other business, at which time we'll open the floor. We'll start around the table, beginning with Mr. Mackey.
I have five items.
You got five items?
Five items. From the Beacon Journal, for those that didn't catch it, transportation trends are changing. Basically, Ohio motorists are driving less, along with some other states. People working at home, telecommuting, people moving into the inner cities again. Bicycling, social life taking place online versus going over to visit somebody, just texting or tweeting them. This, of course, will come to the staff for your planning purposes. Number two, Ohio gas tax alternatives from August 11th, 2015. Oregon's going to try a per mile program. If you drive, you pay. If you don't drive a lot,
who's
going to
try?
Pay a lot of time.
Who's that's going to try per mile?
Oregon, state of Oregon.
Oregon,
2015.
They've been doing that.
So they're going to start with 5,000 volunteer drivers to see if it's easy and fair. Other states, it says, doesn't mention them. It doesn't mention 17 states have conducted studies of mileage taxes. University of Iowa, four-year study. They talk about how it may work. Software in your cars, keep track of your car. Almost, you see that little progressive thing, or there's some rental car agencies that can track where you've traveled. So if you go out of state, if you're living in Ohio and you drive to Pennsylvania, it won't charge you those miles while you're out of state.
Sort of interesting, because in a way, say they did go to that, they'd still have the same problem of people continue to drive less.
Well, that's the other issue. Okay, number three is no better time to build bridges and highways than now. Almost like the program we had at the beginning of the Obama administration, let's build, if it's turnkey ready to build it, let's get money flowing in the economy. So federal taxes, they don't think anybody's going to bring up the increase the federal gas tax, although it's 20 years old. State taxes are going up on gas. So they're talking about tolls going up. Of course, Indiana sold their turnpike. Okay. This is yellow journalism for those another term. 3,000% hike in your fees across Indiana over the term of the 75-year deal they struck. Other talk has been about putting tolls on the main highways, and people, oh, you can't do that, but people pay tolls on the high turnpike. It's well-maintained, well-salted, well-policed. If you want to drive on a really good highway, pay for it. All right, that's three items for you. Question for the staff. 2009 report transportation outlook. When would that be updated? That's what's on the website now. The 2009 transportation outlook.
The new one is on there.
Well, I was reading the 2009 report. So okay,
that one's probably still on there.
Okay.
But the transportation outlook 2035.
No. Okay, I'll have to go look.
Yeah.
What I'm looking at.
Because I think
I spread to 2035.
Yeah.
But this is a 2009 report transportation outlook.
I wonder if that's actually the 2030 plan.
We have.
Did it say 2009 transportation?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
It's okay. Heather's.
I'll go look again.
You'll have to figure that
out. You have a bridge report, 2012, 61 pages.
2012 bridge conditions? 2012 bridge conditions?
Yeah, bridge conditions. 61 pages.
I don't know. I can't find out.
You have a general appraisal, and the rationale for bridge reports is, I guess, numbered 1 through 8. I only saw, like, 3 through 8 or 4 through 8. There's no explanation of, is 1 bad or is 8 bad?
Yeah, 1 is the worst.
Well, it doesn't say that.
Yeah.
So there needs a rationale.
Wait, is this the 1 through 9 rating?
1 through 8 I saw. I didn't see a 9. 3 through 8 is the only...
It should be a 1 through 9. I haven't heard of a 1 through 8.
Well, 3 through 8 is in the report, so I can only tell you what I saw there. So
yeah, okay,
could there not be a scale saying 1 is closed, you can't drive on it, you can't walk on it.
Yeah.
2 is you can walk on it or bicycle on it, but no vehicles. Could that be somewhat brought up to the average reader's speed? The SD or FO, there's a long word, and I couldn't figure out what SD or FO was, so I went back to the first page, and then it says structurally deficient or functionally obsolete. Again, if you could use the word and then put it in parentheses, so then when you read the rest of the report, you realize you're what you're looking at on the rest of the charts. And that was on page 2 when it starts in there. So a scale on bridges, if that could be explained, SD and FO, explain the beginning of the report so people can read it. And I thought it was a pretty good report. For bridges, I mean, there are a lot of, not an O3 is bad, there's some interesting bridges I may not want to take in my travel around. But.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Hey, you have anything for us? Okay, Mr. Coletta?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right, our next meeting then is scheduled for Thursday, December the 12th. 7 p.m., of course. It says the location to be announced.
It should be here.
Should be here, okay.
We just can't reserve it that far in advance, so we have to, just in case.
All right. Even October 11th, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice to see as many of you there as possible. Other than that, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Okay. We'll take Mr. Coletta as the motion, Mr. Baker as the second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adjournment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much for coming tonight. We'll see you next meeting.